Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherGazette.com. Owner, operator, producer. Well, I guess not producer anymore because we've become so big time that we actually have a producer for the podcast.
Nope, no one told me about this. Gopher Gazette.
GopherGazette.com. We're dropping this here on July 1st because, number one, I've seen all of your tweets. Seeing all of your emails, the lovely folks at GopherGazette.com wanted some podcasts. They wanted some Luke Buer in their life. And outside of the domain change name, which we'll get into here in a minute, there's also a chance now for you to be able to look and look into our big brown eyes. Luke, do you have
brown eyes? No, blue. And by the way, yeah, if you think that it is bright on reflecting off of my forehead, it's not your computer's mistake. It's actually my pasty skin.
Yeah, you can tell that Luke is Luke's. I don't want to talk about your forehead too much, just because, as I'm going to say the thing I love, you love that I say so much, is if people want to check us out now, they can go to the Gopher Gazette YouTube page, and you can watch our podcast now that they're to be able to be viewed on there. Luke, we're trying to be hip, we're trying to be young, and people are going to get to see, while you often tell me every time I see you that I have a body for podcasting, a face for radio, and a voice that doesn't do either of them, but we are trying to get into some different things here. So for the now 2026 season, you're going to be able to find us on the YouTube page, Luke.
Do you know what a predictive market is, Ryan?
I've heard it a time or two. I'd love to know where you're going with this.
What are the odds of a predictive market of like how many times I pick my nose, you know, like something ridiculous like that? Here's the thing. Welcome to my unfinished basement in Roseville, Minnesota.
Sure.
I used to walk in a circle when we'd have these conversations. I can't do that anymore. And if I do, I've just kind of like lost it. So welcome to that.
Well, by the time we get to the end of the season, they'll be able to see your brand new house that you've now broken ground on, young man.
We've literally never told anybody this. You're just going to tell like thousands of people.
I love that for you.
That's great.
Look, if we're just here sharing and caring, we're just trying to do what we can. But part of the reason why we are recording is I had to share with Luke today that back a few months ago, we were in the midst of some negotiations between 24/7 Sports and a competing company trying to figure out what we were going to do with things. And it ultimately ended up being that I was going to take on a different role. Now, for those of you thinking to yourselves, thank God Ryan doesn't have to talk about Gopher football anymore. Boy, are you going to be upset, because unfortunately for you, I still get to talk about this lovely, lovely football team. It's just changing domain names into one that now I get to own. So I get to be the big boss man of Ryan James. We're also now hiring on, as you can go to the website and see, over at Minnesota 24/7. That is now Gopher Gazette. We've hired, and I've put my money where my mouth is, because I sat next to Luke Buer at Williams Arena.
It's not Williams Arena anymore. You got to fix that.
What?
It's not Williams Arena.
Oh, what is it? The Barn by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota? Yeah,
you're a professional.
I have to get this down. I have to get this down. Again, first time. But when I sat next to you in that second deck and I saw the 10,000 people that were there at those NCAA tournament games, you looked at me and said, you should probably cover this team. And so part of what we're doing is we are hiring Dan to cover women's basketball, which if you go to GopherGazette.com, He's got an interview with, guess who, Luke? Your favorite women's basketball coach, Don Plitzewite. Again, trying to put my money where my mouth is with this whole thing. And I know that you try to give me all this guff, but look at me, Luke. I'm trying to show you up.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. I did tell you to show me, not tell me. And I guess you have at this point. So beautiful.
So we've got Dan. Ryan James isn't going anywhere. He and Dan are going to be doing a podcast that, again, Luke, I'm not trying to take you away from Ryan James. I'm just trying to get more consistent Ryan James in people's lives, which you, me, and everybody else is
you and my dad both
for his time.
Yeah.
So we'll have multiple guys with Nico Medved, which, oh, by the way, you can check that out over on the website as well. We got an exclusive with Nico Medved. I've got some Derek Burns content up on the site, Luke, which I've got Derek Burns taking shots at guess who? Nick Saban, of all people, for what he's trying to do in the NIL landscape. So for those of you thinking yourselves, okay, Ryan, what has changed from Gopher Illustrated to Gophers Gazette? The name and how we're changing it and tweaking a little bit how we're going to cover Gopher stuff, because I'm not naive to not, I mean, I look around the Gopher landscape, folks, and I know who I see at press conferences. I know who Ryan James sees at press conferences, and it's not exactly expanding. It's dwindling. So I know that there's so many Gopher fans out there and they're trying to find consistently good coverage. And that's what we're going to try to do. And I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. That's where I'm trying to take a little bit of hit of as well. It's 75% off a Gopher Gazette subscription. So for those of you who had yours lapse or for whatever it may be, you want to get in the door. It's a $90 savings right now. So it's a different time in life now, Luke, to where I've gone from the 18-year-old intern to now this is my shebang, and I'm paying people out of my own pockets to make sure that the Gopher Athletics are now covering three different sports. And guess what? If we continue to grow and we continue to go well, we might be getting into that other arena across the street where I hear that maybe there's going to be some ice played with a couple of new head coaches. So it's exciting times, Luke. It's exciting times. Did you think when you sent me an email back, how long has it been now?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been like 10 or 11 years.
That now here we are, would be still talking to each other just across different parts of Roseville?
No, I did not imagine that as you just randomly showed up to my house for the very first time. But here we are.
Yeah.
So let's talk some Gopher football. How about that?
Well, I suppose this is a Gopher Gridiron Radio podcast, which means we have a lot to catch up on over the last couple of months here, where I want to start with probably everybody's favorite thing that happened here over the last 2 months since we recorded. I think it was April 30th is when Daniel House and I went back over the spring game, things we liked, things we didn't. Is your favorite quarterback got himself into a little bit of a situation down in his hometown of Fayetteville, Arkansas, where Drake Lindsey gets arrested for and put in a jail cell for 8 hours for a fake ID that he tried to use in his hometown and also underage drinking. So before, I think we've all heard the story. It's been a few weeks and months since then. But Luke, I'd be curious for your perspective here on what you think of the whole Drake Lindsey situation.
Well, generally speaking, I think what surprised me was that he was arrested. I think that many of us know people that got underage drinking citations back in the day. I had never heard of anyone getting arrested. I have since learned that that is probably more common than I expected. But Fayetteville is a town of just over 100,000, wouldn't you say? I mean, it wasn't exactly the best decision to
go out drinking and underage drinking in your hometown with a fake ID where, like, everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And so if the bouncer doesn't like you and the cops are right there, bad things can happen.
Or just anyone could call a tip in, you know?
Yes, exactly. Since he's not the Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback.
Or alternatively, like, it's not like you weren't in the newspaper before in that town, and your face was probably on there, and you were probably the player of the year. You know, I don't know. It was probably wasn't the best decision.
Yeah.
But what do we say? You can only learn from a failure, right? So, or sorry, it's failure is growth. That is the PJism. My bad.
It is year 10 of Philip John Fleck here. I think you would, should get the,
yeah,
again, the sayings down by now, but what do I know?
Yeah. So no, not the greatest, not the greatest news to receive, but that said, he's said probably all the right things since.
I still think, and that's where they had a press conference in early June so that Fleck and Drake could talk about this, which I'm of the opinion of, that was just an unnecessary press conference to me. I understand why they held that, because now when Drake Lindsey goes to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, at least the local media will not be asking him about it and what he learned from it. And again, Drake said and did the right thing since he's gotten back with the team. He apologized and he's done all that. I'm with you more of, I've seen drink tickets given out in my life. The thing that has me perplexed, and I'm not a lawyer, is if you think about somebody getting put in a jail cell for 8 hours, you think there would be some type of disorderly with it. And trust me when I say I've asked around everywhere about, like, why did he end up getting put in the back of a squad car and then ultimately in a jail cell? And I still haven't heard an answer that I really understand, other than he's Drake Lindsey and he's drinking in his hometown and he's 20 and a half and he turns 21 in, I think, 6 weeks. And I think they probably wanted to make an example out of him because there was no disorderly. It's not like he was berating the cop. Again, I've heard there's body cam footage. I have not seen it. I have heard about it. And I've heard there was a lot of yes, sirs, and it was handled the right way. Like, this isn't like a other former college quarterback who went down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and also ended up in a jail cell. Like, this is not that situation. What this is, I think some people trying to make an example out of him. And look, I will tell Drake this to his face. Like, I think he's an idiot for drinking in his hometown and people not knowing. Like, everybody knows how old he is. Like, I understand. Like, again, he's got to be smarter with this whole thing. And there's a lot of different parts of this that, again, probably isn't for a college football podcast to get in the nuances of. But in terms of a punishment for Drake, Fleck has been very noncommittal about that. And I truly believe that, I don't know that he's decided what's going to happen. I don't know if he's just going to, say, give Max Shikanjanski the first series against Eastern Illinois, and then Drake comes in. Here's what I'll ask you. Do you think the punishment should be any more severe than what I just stated, which would be Max Shikanjanski gets the first series of the first quarter against Eastern Illinois?
No, probably not. I wouldn't think that would be entirely necessary. I think it is a good opportunity though for, if they do punish him, that they could probably get a round table recorded video explaining why they're doing this kind of punishment, versus any other kind of punishment that could be done.
Oh,
that might be reasonable,
guys.
And then, you know, maybe he could be barred from playing Canadian football for an entire year at least. That could be another one.
Oh, Luke. Well, you know what the funny part is about the joke that Luke is making, which, if you haven't been paying attention to college football over the last 2 months, Texas Tech and Brendan Sorsby have been having a PR masterclass of how not to handle something. And there was a video recorded and it's a roundtable, which, here's what I will also tell you. Did you see the news that came out as we're recording this, that Texas Tech football has been recorded here this offseason by Paramount Plus for like Hard Knocks type of thing?
Oh, for real. And you can stream that. You can stream that if you're a member of Gopher Gazette, you know.
Yes, you can. Those lovely, handsome members of GopherGazette.com get Paramount Plus for free as part of their subscription. So for those of you who want an in-depth look, apparently it comes out this fall, and apparently they gave the producers of that a pretty in-depth look at how Texas Tech actually handled this behind the scenes. I cannot wait to watch like the first 24 hours of when they found out, like, oh, this is bad. Like, this isn't just like sweep under the rug bad because we have a lot of money and we're in Texas. This is, oh, this is national news and this could get bad, bad. I can't wait to see how that thing goes down. But yes, that'll be on Paramount Plus. So I don't believe that Fleck's going to react any differently, because I think it's just, you know what I'm trying to get at with this? Like, he's 20 and a half years old and there's no disorderly with it. And I don't know. There's so many other worse things than something like this to me.
Yeah. I think that, it's not great judgment, but
certainly
what 20 to 22 year olds are consistently making great decisions. I think if you wanted to pin this on Fleck, I think those that are avid supporters of him will turn around and say, but where has it been the last 9+ years? Like, there hasn't been a lot of this kind of stuff. So I think it just happens to be like the biggest name, or maybe not biggest name, but one of the bigger names on the team.
Yeah,
getting this.
Exactly. And that's where I've had the discussion. Like, I don't want to say Alan Sukup, your favorite all Big Ten line long snapper. If this were to have happened to him, would this have even made like the news?
Yeah.
Peace and love to he and his family. But you know what I'm saying?
100%.
So I don't know. I think we won't get an actual response to that, I think, until the Eastern Illinois game, because if Fleck handles this the way he handles injuries, we can't give Eastern Illinois a competitive advantage. Okay.
No, definitely can't.
It's an elite team coming in Huntington Bank Stadium on a Thursday night, which leads me into also, since the last time we recorded, Luke, we've also got 5 game times with their TV that are going to be announced. Speaking of Eastern Illinois on that Thursday night, because Luke Buehr loves the TV overlords, you're going to see that 4 of the 5 games are on different TV channels, because that's what we all want to appease the media rights overlords, which, starting with Eastern Illinois, it's a 7 p.m. kickoff, the home opener, on Peacock, Luke, of all things.
Yeah, I still have my subscription. They got me.
Is that how they got you? Because you had to watch Nico Medved and the boys at like 9 p.m. against Oregon on Peacock? God,
it's one of the better value streaming platforms, I would say. But yeah, I mean, I'm very curious on the economics of this. I'm sure we'll debate it later. I think that the last Big Ten, you know, media deal drove up the value of it. My guess is that it's going to not really be driven up by streaming, because I don't think the economic support that streaming is driving the eyeballs that one would have anticipated. But we'll see. Well, it's both eyeballs and subscriptions, right? It's some sort of combination of the two. So I will be very fascinated to see. But to watch this game, you will have to either be there in person or have a Peacock subscription.
And then game 2 is going to be a primetime national television game, because the week 2 slate for college football, number 1, isn't fantastic. So when you have a Big Ten versus SEC matchup, you get the 2:30 p.m. kickoff on CBS, which I will be at the game, so I don't get to hear the CBS lead-in music. I'm sad that I don't get to, because like,
yeah, you shouldn't sing again.
Well, look, I got kicked out of fourth grade choir at Gethsemane Lutheran because I wasn't much good, and I haven't sang since. So I'm trying to be a little bit different here for this.
I got year. You next time.
Yeah, but 2:30 on CBS against Mississippi State, again, an SEC team. Now, they aren't projected to win, I think, more than 4 or 5 games, but we've seen how Minnesota struggles sometimes early to start seasons. We've seen that even going back to the famed 2019 season, where they just had to grind their way through the non-conference. But 2:30 on CBS, you're going to have millions of eyeballs on you, Luke.
Yeah, for sure. And, well, I mean, you're right. The iconic intro music, you know, the pageantry that's around the television broadcast, it'll be fun to see. And I will watch it, and I will give you my perspective when we break that game down.
So the following week, our final non-conference game, you've gotten different TV times. You've gotten different TV stations. Let's go 3 for 3 with an 11 a.m. kickoff on Big Ten Network, baby, against your team of the MAC, Akron.
No, you have to introduce them as the Zips of Akron.
Is John Gross still coaching the team?
That's probably one of my favorite things. Is it Raffery? Bill Raffery? Is it Raffery or Raffery?
Raffery.
I don't know.
Someone's screaming at us in their car right now, and we apologize.
Yeah, I think maybe he's the one that I picked up the Zips of Akron from. But that should be fun. Old stomping grounds of Winston D. Laddie Boudaire, correct?
Correct. Former coach. Yep. And it's also going to be the Marquise Williams revenge game. As the former Gopher running back, who I don't think anybody outside of the sickos who really remember Gopher football recruiting, he came in the same class, I believe, as Darius Taylor.
Yeah,
and I think things you're right. Haven't gone as well for him, but he gets to make his return to Huntington Bank Stadium. Now, we technically do not know what TV station the Iowa game is going to be on. But we do know it's not at 11 a.m., and we do know it's either at 2:30 or 6 p.m. I don't know if this is going to be a Fox one. I will be very curious here.
So this was rumored to maybe have been a Friday option as well, right? So we know that's now going to be a Saturday option.
That's the interesting part about this is that's one of my favorite things to do is kind of ask around the dinky town of, there were two games I had circled on my schedule when it first came out of, okay, these are the ones I think could really get flexed the Friday night. And there were two. One was when you're going to be donning the, and people will actually see it on the YouTube page now, was when we preview the Washington game, Luke's going to be decked out in his Husky gear from head to toe.
Oh, wear a Husky shirt.
And that was one of the ones where I thought, okay, that could be definitely like a Friday night, 9 p.m. Central kick. Flex that thing to Friday, give Minnesota an extra day on the back end. Turns out they didn't. And then the Iowa game was the other one I had circled, considering both Iowa and Minnesota had bye weeks prior to this one. Sure. So what is, say, 13 days of rest when you can get an additional day on the back end? And I asked around, and turns out Minnesota had given some, from what I've heard, the inclinations to the Big Ten or the TV overlords or whoever they may be, that they were definitely okay with the Big Ten if they wanted to flex those games to Friday nights. And it turns out they just chose not to, which I don't know how to react to that one way or another, other than I did ask. That is what I was told in response. But to your point, doesn't look like the Iowa game will be on Friday night. So for those of you, that October 17th game is either afternoon or evening, but I would expect national TV for the pig.
The other thing that's maybe notable here is that's homecoming, right? And correct. The fact that they pick Iowa for homecoming, maybe opponent doesn't matter as much, but I think the point being is should be a great crowd because it's Iowa, should be a great opportunity to tailgate before, and also it could be some really good weather too. Knock on wood, obviously there's no guarantees in the weather department ever, but yeah, I think that I love that they're picking Iowa for homecoming personally.
I'm here for it. Again, it's about time that Minnesota shows up against Iowa, especially at home for 60 minutes in the PJ Fleck tenure. But I've already been told today I'm already too negative on this team. So what do I know? Now, finally, right,
can I ask you about the final one? You asked me about most of them.
Let's do it.
All right. So Wisconsin, if you grew up watching Gopher football, this was always a 2:30 game. Right. And recently
2:30 on Saturday game.
Yeah. 2:30 on Saturday game. Right. And recently this has been flexed to Friday. This has been also been played in the evening. It's maybe even been played at 11. I don't know. I know I watched one on the West Coast and that felt like the morning to me. So I might be screwing this up, but the point being, like, the tradition is kind of gone. Where do you generally sit knowing this is now a 6:30 kick for Wisconsin
on Black Friday, no less?
Yeah.
Where I sit is I've just kind of accepted that if you want to cash the media rights checks as the University of Minnesota,
that's
this
fair.
Is kind of the price you have to pay, which I posed this thought to a high level Minnesota official of when I saw this come out that Minnesota had agreed, because you'll remember the Minnesota for November, I believe this is still in the language. At least when I asked the question, it was put back to me and they didn't tell me I'm a moron to my face, which was very kind of that Minnesota official. mm-hmm. that I believe the Gophers have to okay night games in November. Like, and that's okay. where. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that. I mean, I think I knew that, and that's probably part of the meteorites deal. That's yep. That's what they get.
So when I saw it's at six, because again, we've seen this game in recent years be cold, cold. Like yeah. I think about the last game at Camp Randall, the Max Brosmer one, like that game was like 18 degrees. And then last year it was a snow globe. I mean, now that you're going to be playing this an hour and a half after sunset, I mean, this again could be frigid out there in Camp Randall. Now I know Luke's question is going to be, well, Ryan, is Luke Fickell going to be even coaching this game at that point? Of which I would say, gosh, you're so negative on the Badgers.
That's your question.
You're so negative on them. I mean, I've been reading the message boards. They're going to be going to the Rose Bowl again. What do I know? But I am a little surprised that Minnesota said yes. I don't even know if that it's that they said yes. I think it was almost the discussion of, is this the one we really want to throw a tantrum on to say no? Like, are we that adamant that we need to put our foot down that now we get a primetime spot against our rival that we've beat four out of the last five times. We really like our team. And you could be Black Friday evening where everybody's going to be at home by then after a long day of shopping and Thanksgiving leftovers. And they're going to flip on NBC and there's going to be your team against your rival. And you hopefully can make it five out of the last six. So it is fascinating to me to a degree that Minnesota just kind of went with it. But I mean, I get it to an extent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, so the other thing I want us to get into, too, that has now since passed is some NCAA kind of legislature here, Luke, and that is the 5-for-5. Is going to be taking effect here very, very soon. So I know that there's some confusion with it. I don't pretend to be the end all be all in terms of a 101 level teacher. I can try to, because I can hopefully read charts and try to explain at least in a Gopher football sense what this means. So let me give it a little once over here for Luke Buer and the listeners. Okay. So this 5-for-5 rule is going to be effective for all sports. That for sure, if you're a 2027, okay, but it's also going to be backdated, okay. So, student athletes who use their final year of competition during the 25-26 season, so say Cade Tyson, for example, you get nothing, no additional eligibility. Sorry, buddy. Okay, now,
yep,
current student athletes with eligibility remaining after this current academic year. You get to then get into the previous rules or the new age-based model, whichever one is more beneficial to the athlete. So, say, for example, okay, John Nestor. John Nestor, I know that maybe this is an example that may surprise some people. John Nestor has been in college for 3 years. He has played all 3 years. He was, as a true freshman, a core special teamist at Iowa. But he didn't play any defense, but they burned his red shirt. So guess what? Under this new ruling, John Nestor is eligible for a fifth year of eligibility in 2027, which for a team like the University of Minnesota, boy, would that be nice to have your cornerback one to be able to come back. So for prospects who will enroll here going forward, it's the age-based model where it's going to be 19 or by the time you enroll. And I think I'm saying that right, which then we can get into the whole discussion of, Luke, you are a parent. I am not. I think we might see in a decade that you start to see parents holding their kids back in kindergarten an extra year to be able to try and take advantage of their kid getting an extra year of like development before they get into college to potentially take advantage of that, which
yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, if there is a single parent thinking that, what are we doing?
First and foremost, have you paid attention to our neighbors to the north in Canada?
What do you want to talk to me about there?
Have you ever noticed how the majority of those hockey players have birth dates that happen to be very close to the cutoff range.
Oh, that's funny. I had not. Eric Vigo is somewhere shaking his
head. Where's Vigo when you need him? But yeah. It is particularly common, and because it is age based, right? So it's like, you know, U19, U20, U21, or mm-hmm. I don't actually know the ages, but you know, I was one of those kids that was held back. Actually, did you know that?
I didn't know that about you. Look, so we're still learning new things about each other after a decade. For those who can't see us, Luke just winked at me, which that's how we keep the spark alive after all these years.
Yeah. I'm a June birthday. So ultimately, this probably won't shock you. Five-year-old Luke, attention span, not great.
Yep.
And probably makes sense. And I think it's a kid-by-kid basis. I don't think there's a wrong way to do it, whether it's hold them back or not. Sure. But if you're holding them back for the promise of athletics, that maybe isn't the reason.
That shouldn't be your biggest reason. But no. Again, I know that I get yelled at when I give parenting opinions when I'm not a parent. So it's something to where I've seen that discourse already online, and I'm just thinking to myself, we've lost the plot if that's going to be the case with this thing. But for the purposes here of just Gopher football, there's two main questions I've gotten with this. Is Ryan, who are the guys that are going to get this additional year that can help us now in 2027? Well, luckily for you, you can at Gopher Gazette, I already wrote about it, but I can just give you the TLDR here. You'd be talking about guys like Darius Taylor and Greg Johnson now having the ability to come back, which we'll get into the summer of Greg Johnson's team, which I wasn't expecting to see. Which I don't know. Again, Luke's giving me a little bit of a mystified look. This is why I didn't want him to read the pregame notes, because we're going to get into what has happened for Greg Johnson here this summer. But Darius has played all 3 years, so has Greg. Well, guess what? They get to be backdated to now. They have an additional year if they want it. So that's the beauty of this, is if injuries hit Darius again, or if Greg Johnson doesn't have the year that he wanted to, he has the ability to come back. You also look at somebody like Noah Jennings, who I seemingly am the high man on in this market. I'm going to continue to beat that into the skulls of Gopher fans that I don't think it's a crazy statement in my mind that Noah Jennings could potentially lead this team in receiving. That is how high I am on him, because the people I listen to, that is how high they are on him. And I've seen it with my own two eyes as well. So just don't be surprised there. But Noah Jennings played 2 years at Charleston Southern. Went to Cincinnati last year. Now he's at Minnesota. He's got an additional year. And then when you get to the defensive side, sign me up, by the way, for an additional year of TJ Bush.
Yeah, because really?
TJ Bush played 2 years at Liberty, transferred to Cal last year. So TJ Bush and John Nestor, those two to me are going to be the test case for this, because I think those two are very good college players. And I don't know how much NFL value they necessarily have.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to be the metric here. It's, well, guess what? They can come back to college and they can make some pretty dang good money for that, especially for the rest of us Jamokes out here, we would consider outstanding and elite money.
Mm-hmm.
So you have guys like that. And then you also look at, okay, well, Ryan, who are the freshmen who gain from this? Well, you'd be thinking about guys like Emmanuel Carmo. He played and he burned his redshirt last year. Guess what? He still has 4 years to play. Zach Harden, Ethan Stendel, Nate Cleveland, they played a lot of special teams. They still have 4 years to play. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy that Luke's going to get into his head here too is, and he brought this up to me in the pre-production meeting, I wouldn't lie about this, Aiden West, who might be starting for the Gophers at corner in his second year here in college. He played 400, 450 snaps out for Joe Rossi as a true freshman last year in East Lansing. Well, he gets an additional year, and he's got four more years to play. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be fascinating to see under this new model how colleges change the way that they do things. Now, for everybody that's like, boy, 2027, Luke's already booked the tickets for Pasadena. I mean, I don't blame him. I really don't. But so is every other team looking at it like, oh boy, we get this guy back. But that's the thing, and that's the discourse around this, because I also know that there's some people listening saying, well, Ryan, why even bring up Darius or Greg? They're going to go to the NFL. I would remind those people thinking that. I thought it last year too. And guess what? I was wrong and you were wrong, because Anthony Smith had one of the greatest seasons in Gopher modern history, and he is still here. And all he needs is 14 tackles for loss and 10 sacks to be the all-time leader in Gopher football history in sacks and tackles for loss. Yet he was first team all Big Ten. And because he didn't like the day two projections, I think, that he was told behind the scenes, he came back. So you just never know. And I'm not saying that all of those guys are going to come back, Luke, but it's more so, guess what? They have the opportunity to do so now, which they previously didn't.
So, yeah, so Anthony Smith can't come back because he redshirted.
Correct.
And then, you know, when you look at, like, when you look at the age restrictions, those are primarily to, I would imagine, are in place to make sure that those that have played professionally in other countries, maybe, that come to play college sports because there's good money. Like, so, well, let's take a,
you know,
let's
who
take
this an, really impacts, and this is going to touch your soul in a way that I don't want to do to you.
Please do.
The Australian punters that are like 30 years old when they come over here. Like Mark Crawford came over here and punted for Minnesota for 4 or 5 years at like starting at age 25. Buddy, it's just the Australian punter connection that we've seen over here. I think that is one that is going to have to go by the wayside here pretty quickly.
Yeah, the elder statesman that is the punter.
Thing I'll also be curious here is this won't impact Minnesota necessarily, but like, what about those who go on missions for 2 years? Like, think about like the BYUs and the Utahs of the world here.
Well, I was also thinking about like junior hockey, right? Like those guys go.
I'm sure Eric Vigo and the Gopher Puck Live people have already.
Yeah, I'm sure they're on it. But like this could,
if you're trying to figure out how this is going to impact those boys, go listen to that.
Yeah, they could. That could benefit them. I do think that. I do think this is an interesting rule change for sure. And frankly, NIL transfer portal. This probably made sense anyway, because I didn't love like the nuance of the medical red shirt, the, you know, all the just the nuance that was like basically a black box. It's like who gets it, who doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. I like this rule change from that standpoint.
So the other thing that is going to be effectively passed here come January 1st is, are you ready for OTAs in college football, baby?
No. I mean, I know you are, but you're not going to get any access. So like, who cares?
So that is one of the interesting things that college coaches, and I've been talking with this at a Big Ten level, a Mountain West level, a Missouri Valley level. And now, again, everybody has wanted this, I think, across all levels. And so what will be effective come January 1st is, and I'll read it verbatim, a new out-of-season activities model would replace the current spring practice and summer activities legislation to allow 2 out-of-season practice periods with a total of 21 on-field practices. The duration of the practice periods may not exceed 7 weeks. So you can essentially have 2 different times there to be able to say if you want to do some stuff. I think the way I understand it from the people I've talked to, if you want to do some stuff, say in April, but then also in May and June, you're able to do that. Now, what they've also done is they've modified the preseason practice periods as well. So the preseason practice period would consist of 27 calendar days to conduct 21 practices. Again, I don't want to like get into the minutia of this because I'm sure people's eyes are already glazing over and they're like, Ryan, you're getting way too deep into the weeds here.
Yeah.
But just know that for next year, I think there's a very good chance that Fleck could have, say, 10 practices in April, but then also do, say, 10 practices in June when the rest of the team gets here to kind of find out early on what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating thing to see how all these college football teams continue to go. Now, next thing I want to ask you about, Luke, is the Mark Coyle extension. Is your favorite, and I was texting about this with, I won't name who, but I think he's already been mentioned on this podcast, that Mark Coyle got a new 6-year extension coming off the news soon afterwards that broke that Kentucky has a new athletic director where Mark Coyle used to be. And guess what? It is now the Michigan State guy, and it is not Mark Coyle. So how do you feel about the word leverage, Mr. Buehr?
Leverage. You know, I found that interesting just to see how the Kentucky thing went down. You know,
I truly believe there is no coincidence here that Coyle gets this extension and the Kentucky AD news is also within a week.
Okay. So here's what I find interesting. I think everyone assumed that Coyle would be a candidate at Kentucky given his past, right? And right. you alluded to this before. And then the other one would be like the quote unquote money challenges that exist in Minnesota. He very well probably could have been that candidate and maybe was. But instead they still get J-Bat. Who seemingly had no money challenges and was at Michigan State for one right. year mm-hmm. and no prior connections to Kentucky, to my knowledge. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm very curious about why he bolted. And we could talk at length about Michigan State and their venture fund, right? Maybe that's not the landscape you want to be in. I don't know. Like, why did he bolt? What was more attractive about Kentucky than Michigan State and all that they seemingly have to offer?
Michigan State, again, departures that we've seen of late, of which, if you haven't seen Tom Izzo's comments on these.
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, he is, I think, irate, distraught. I mean, he is very livid with, for whatever folks think of the Board of Regents, the lovely Board of Regents here at the University of Minnesota.
Who in some former ones have given some of their time for this podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm being so kind here, Luke.
Yeah.
That would be Tom Izzo. He can't stand those MFers over there in East Lansing. I think he's made that very clear. So, yeah. I mean, the good with Mark Coyle has been the Fleck hire was a hit. And Minnesota has consistently been finishing above 500 in the Big Ten. And for a school that I would say is bottom five in football resources and recruiting 300-mile talent base. I mean, yes, trust me when I say there's nothing more that I would want in this world than to cover ceiling seasons. I would. But, I mean, you're also finishing above 500 in the Big Ten. You've also got women's basketball coming off their Sweet 16 run. You've got, and I know you're a big fan here, gymnastics had a huge year.
Yeah.
But then you're also on the flip side of this saying, all right, Mark Coyle's going to be making $2 million. Which is top, I believe, top seven in the Big Ten, AD money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just fired both hockey coaches, softball, and men's basketball hasn't made the tournament since we had a pandemic.
So, okay, so the basketball thing is interesting because we know how much pride he takes in basketball.
Correct. I mean, we hear all the time about
how... I know that eats at him. I know it eats at him.
Oh, I can verify that hypothetically I've had those conversations. Yes, it eats at him.
And the other thing is, we can say that he fired the hockey coach. The hockey coach also got to the national championship. That same hockey coach got to the national championship. So he also, that was a good and bad hire. You know, there, I don't know what all goes into the, what happened with the hockey program. This isn't really our topic, but on football, I don't know that he could have probably made much better of a hire. I know there are people that don't like him, don't like PJ, that is. I should be more explicit when I say him. And I just think the reality is you want to have that consistency, and they've had that consistency. Now we just have to see the consistent jumps that you would like to see. And you know that I've said this, and I believe this to be true. The students have made a resurgence after the pandemic, continue that. And this is how you grow.
And I think for right. Hockey,
yeah. Yeah. And I think this is just how you grow a fan base. It's through experience. And I do think they're doing a lot of things the right way. I am high on Nico Medved. I am high on Don. I think that he made two bad basketball hires, whether or not they were both his hires. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't say no to your most accomplished female basketball player if she wants to coach. I don't know the men's basketball hire situation, but I was probably the wrong person to say that why not Ben Johnson even before he was hired. Obviously, that didn't work. By the way, good for him. He got a job in the NBA now. Did you see that?
No. What's that about?
Sean Sweeney. Do you know who Sean Sweeney is?
I do.
He is the head coach of the Orlando Magic. Okay. I have seen that he has hired Ben Johnson as an assistant.
Interesting. Interesting. Down there. Interesting. Down in Orlando. Huh. Yeah. Your guy, Ben Johnson.
My guy, Ben Johnson, for sure.
All right. So a final few couple of things here before we get Luke out of here, out of his basement, me out of my wife's upstairs bedroom, is back on the college football side of things here, Luke. Mm-hmm. Have you ever played or did you ever play the college football EA Sports video games?
Do you believe that I play video games at all?
I believe at this. Well, here's the thing. I know what your life looks like and you don't have time to do so.
In college, do you think I played video games?
Yes.
No.
You never played video games.
Never is a strong. I played video games. So in absolutes, yes, I played video games.
Okay.
If you ask my college roommates, did I play video games? They'd be like, no, he didn't play video games. Not at all.
I've got vivid memories of playing EA back when I was a wee lad.
Were you NFL or college football?
College football. Never been a Madden guy at any point.
Were you a first person shooter?
I have played a lot of, I grew up in the Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty streets, of which those lobbies had some of the most incriminating things that were ever said, I think, over 2005 bandwidth.
Are you a console or a PC guy?
I've been a PlayStation diehard my entire life. So I've now got a PlayStation 5, but I certainly don't have the time that I used to. Where does it go, Luke? I don't know where it goes.
I don't know. Okay, I think I know where we're going with this.
Well, I was going to ask you. So they released for the College Football 27 game.
Yeah.
The rankings, and I wanted to have you guess what you think the top five, according to EA Sports, College Football 27 is for the Gophers on offense and defense.
Well, top defense is easy. That's Anthony Smith.
With a 92 overall grade, he is number one on the list.
Mm-hmm. Top offense.
Oh. Let's stick to defense for now. I don't want to get you sidetracked here.
Okay. Am I supposed to pick the next defender?
You can. I just want you to give me who you think are in the top five.
Oh, pick top five. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would guess Anthony Smith, John Nestor.
John Nestor comes in at technically on my list, number five. He is tied for third with two others with an 87 overall grade.
Maverick Baranowski.
Number two on the list, 88 overall grade.
I'm just picking who I think are the... Kerry Brown, for sure.
He is tied with John Nestor at 87 overall. You are missing one. You are going four for four, Luke. You are impressing me.
This is where my... The other defense on Carter Mens.
It is not Carter Mens, but he is going to be splitting time with Carter Mens.
Jackson Howard?
TJ Bush is who we were looking for there. Okay. The new Cal transfer. EA is very high.
This is where the transfers are getting. So now offense. I got to pick offense.
Who is the number one offensive player? This player is at 92 overall. The next closest is at 87.
Greg Johnson.
The Greg Johnson summer of steam is correct. The Prior Lake kid is the number four overall guard in the game. Greg Johnson.
Okay. Top five.
We'll get into my thoughts and feelings on that here a little bit later.
Drake Lindsey
is number five at 81.
Oh, Darius Taylor.
Number two with an 87 overall grade.
And literally, I can't think of who would be the... I'll take some...
One pass Ashton catcher, Beers one offensive lineman.
Ashton Beers?
At number three.
Oh, 86. Wow. Okay. Jameson Gears graduated. Jameson Gears redshirted?
I think Jameson Gears is currently living his best life out in Phoenix, Arizona with the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. I honestly don't know.
For Javon Tracy comes in at an 86 overall grade.
Really?
It is an interesting mix of what non Minnesota people think, which leads me into one of the final things that I want to talk to you about, Luke. Is Phil Steele, the college football czar from the last few decades, released his preseason All Big Ten teams. And I want to run through them for you on a Minnesota perspective here.
Yeah.
Who do you think were the two first team All Big Ten and All Americans for your Golden Gophers?
Anthony Smith.
Low hanging fruit. Absolutely.
Just because of the steam, I'm going to go with Greg Johnson.
Greg Johnson was named first team preseason All Big Ten and an All American.
Hasn't he been hurt like all offseason?
So let me get into the tale of Greg Johnson here. And I asked some people here this week because I have been fascinated by this. And look, if you have been reading me on 24/7 for years, you know that I am the Greg Johnson Bobo.
Yeah,
I will stand by the statement of Greg Johnson has the best senior tape for an offensive lineman that I've seen the Gophers sign in 16 years. Like, that tape was fantastic, which is why I was so high on him and why I banged the table so hard for him to get his fourth star. Now, it ended up working. He's played a lot of football here at Minnesota. The thing for Greg is he was thrown into the fire too soon in 2023. Like, true freshman offensive lineman in the Big Ten, it's just not usually going to go well. I know we have examples of younger guys playing, such as, say, Curtis Dunlap, Daniel Faalele, Blaze Andrews over the years. It's just 18-year-olds against 21, 22, and 23-year-olds, especially in the trenches. I mean, it's just not usually going to go well. Mm-hmm. And then in 2024, Minnesota made the grand decision to, you know what we're going to do to fix the center problem? We're going to put Greg Johnson there. And that didn't go great. And so then last year, we got Greg Johnson starting games at left tackle, right tackle, left guard. And I think he played some snaps at right guard as well, moving him all over the place. And now we're seeing him get first team All Big Ten. I've seen mock drafts with Greg Johnson in the first round. And here's where I think the disconnect is. Mm-hmm. Greg physically is exactly what you look for. He is 6'5" plus. He moves incredibly well, but mm-hmm. he doesn't have the tape yet to match that. Now, part of that is Minnesota's own fault because their offensive line has stunk so much that A, Greg had to be thrown into the mix too soon, and B, he hasn't been able to focus on one position his entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope would be, if Greg Johnson, and I trust me when I say I would love nothing more than the Prior Lake kid to live up to this billing and be a first team All Big Ten guard, because that would be a lot of fun. And that means Darius Taylor and whoever else is toting the rock would be able to run for a lot of yards. But if that's going to happen, A, Greg needs to stay at the same position for 13 games, which I'm skeptical because of what I saw last year that they're going to be able to do that. But it's also B, he's... to your point, I mean, he missed the entire spring with a foot injury. He had a freak injury happen in a workout. He's going through workouts now. He's fine. He's 100% healthy, ready to go for fall camp. But it is just, I didn't expect to see, as the founding member of the Greg Johnson fan club, to see mock drafts with Greg Johnson in them, to see EA Sports put a 92 on him, to have Phil Steele have him as an All-American. But look, I'm here for this, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to see if Greg can, A, stay at the same spot, and B, live up to it. It's going to be very fascinating to follow.
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome because I think it would be evidence that they were running the ball better, which they haven't done. And then additionally, like it would be the offensive line was just better generally.
Which leads me into, Luke, there were three Phil Steele second team selections for All Big Ten for the Gophers. Who are they?
Well, I said Nestor and then Baranowski.
Those are two
in order.
Three.
Yeah. Okay. And then offense.
He's on the offensive line.
Ashton Beers
is not among those selected for this.
Really? Mm-hmm. Who is it?
Nathan Roy as a.
That makes sense.
Phil Steele is saying, oh, you held your own as a redshirt freshman.
As a redshirt freshman.
And in 2025, we are going to be, I think I'm going to get this wrong for the Wisconsin, for Wisconsinites. And I should know this. I married one. Is it called McQuanago?
I don't know.
Boy, I really hope I got that right. Because if not, trust me when I say I'm going to hear it instantaneously after a few of you read this. And that's my own fault.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that he is the selection here and not Ashton Beers. That's not necessarily me poo-pooing Roy here for this. Because, again, he did hold his own. And I think he was slightly above average, which is a redshirt freshman getting everybody's best player week in and week out. Hell yeah, man. I mean, that was difficult. Like, Nathan Roy was such the least amount of our worries last year.
Yeah.
On the offensive line. I just think this might be a year early here. But again, if this comes to be true and you have a second team all Big Ten guy at left tackle, I'm going to say it again. You're going to be able to do what RTB stands for, which is not just row the boat, it's run the ball.
Yeah. I will be very, very interested to just talk offensive line going into the season in more depth, because I think that it's definitely better, at least from a personnel perspective of what they have. It just, in some ways, it just can't be worse, right?
Trust me when I say we're going to spill a lot of minutes for people to kill at the gym, on their mower, whatever it may be on the offensive line. Now, there are two guys on the third team, and I'm going to give you a hint here. One of them is a specialist.
Daniel Jackson. No, Alan Sukup. I'm sorry.
Alan Sukup is the lone fourth team selection, so you're a little early here. Oh. They have this guy as a third team punt returner selection. You're not going to get there.
I thought he plays
there
at Oregon.
You're not going to get there. I can see the look in your eye. It is the Elon transferred TJ Thomas.
Really?
Is probably my favorite in the clubhouse right now to be the East-West/scat back to Darius Taylor. But we're talking about that 4 weeks ahead of fall camp. So it's interesting to see Phil Steele be like, yeah, he's going to be an all-conference punt returner, which is this the year my pants come off in the press box because there's actually a return touchdown we're going to have to see?
Are you right here and right now committing to that, like, bet I wager I put to you, was it like the Northwestern game of like if you're in Wrigley and you get barred for life from Wrigley Field because your pants come down in the press box?
I gotta have a discussion with
for the record, this was you can keep your boxers or your undergarments on. That's fine.
I call them my britches. Look, I don't know what you call your undergarments. I call them my britches.
But I still would like to get you on the record for the full season, punt return and kick return, or just punt return? Is it just punt return?
It is just punt return for TJ Thomas, which I think he also can help you as a kick returner. But I'm going to have to clear this with my favorite SID, Carl Anderson, to say if there is a return touchdown, can my trousers drop a little bit there to satisfy a bet? Or are we going to have to Paul. Keep up the professional nature of this?
I'll email Paul.
Let me talk to Carl. We'll get this handled. Now, there is one pass catcher left that we haven't talked about that is a third team selection. Who may that be?
I was going to say Javon Tracy based on
Jalen Smith. So you've got a smorgasbord. You have EA who's high on Javon Tracy. Phil Steele is high on Jalen Smith. And I am the one that's high on Noah Jennings of the three. Now, this is the last
Someone's
thing
gonna
I want to
right.
This is the last thing I want to ask you about this. Yeah. How did you take the news that Kerry Brown has no longer on the team? Because Kerry Brown was not selected by Phil Steele to be on a preseason All Big Ten team, while Coy Parrish is a unanimous first team selection.
I'm shocked that Kerry Brown doesn't get more love for what he's done.
You know what I've learned
at a national level, but he's been the more consistent player, and there's no question about it.
You know what I've learned here this offseason that I thought. In January, I thought to myself, look, just give it time. People will do the research. People will watch the tape. and you'll start to see what you thought. And we're getting very close to Big Ten Media Days here. And I've yet to see the discourse in any viable manner. And what I'm talking about is this is going to come out across as sour grapes. And I don't mean it to be that way because Coy Parrish did a lot of great things here at the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
But it is also true, and we say this constantly on this podcast, that multiple things are usually true. But it's also true that Coy Parrish didn't have a great season last year. Yeah. Coy Parrish was second in the Big Ten in missed tackles. And I am pleading for anyone to dive into that. Like, he missed 23 tackles. Yet I'm seeing certain ESPN writers have him as their number one safety. And I'm thinking to myself, I just went through a whole draft cycle where I saw multiple people I respect be like, well, this guy can't go in the first round at safety because he missed 11 tackles last year. I'm like, buddy, this guy missed 23. Yet so you look at the PFF stuff here and Carey was higher graded overall in coverage, tackling, blitzing, more PBUs, more interceptions. Yet because his name is Carey Brown, like, I am fascinated that Carey Brown has not received the flowers that I think he deserves is my point in this.
Well, to that point, I think the thing is that big plays are what people remember than boring safety play. Right.
Sure.
And the thing is if you are doing a good job being a safety, you're probably not going to flash all that often.
We spend the entire fall doing this. Yep. I agree.
Yeah. It's the real evaluators will probably be the NFL. Right. And the other knock on Carey is his size. He doesn't have the measurables.
Yeah. He's only 5'10", say. And that's where Coy is. It's the legitimate 6'1". I get it. I just want to just say, though, like, I understand Coy played a lot of free safety. And Carey played a lot of, say, strong safety and nickel. And I don't know what Carey's going to play this fall. I think it depends on the players around him. And then I'm also not saying that when Coy is out there at Oregon, guess what? He gets to play behind four creatures that all look like Anthony Smith behind the line. And if you just ask Coy Parrish to go play Byron Buxton in center field, like, Coy is going to be one of the league leaders in interceptions if that is his role.
I really feel like you dropped a really good opportunity to say a retrieving dog getting all the dropping ducks. Like,
I don't know that we've talked about on this podcast, but I have a golden retriever puppy at my house.
I know.
I don't think we've said it on this podcast, though, where I have a foster puppy who's like 3 months old, golden retriever. And for those of you thinking, well, Ryan, you're just going to fail adopt. That's not an option here because he's going to be a service dog. It's through Helping Paws. You can go check them out to do fantastic work. He's either going to be a PTSD for a war vet or a physical disabilities dog. But let me tell you, everybody looks at me when I'm with this like 30-pound golden retriever, Luke, and they're like, oh, it's so nice. No, he is a puppy land shark monster that just everything is in our mouth. And it is like, he can't ever go on a couch. He can't ever sleep on a bed with us. He can't get people food because, I mean, again, he's got a big boy job here in 2 years, but
yeah.
So that's why I can't even, like, he sleeps in the crate next to us every night, but like, puppy land shark, man. Well, look, is that just a universal puppy experience? Because this is the first puppy I've experienced in my adult life.
I've never had a puppy.
Okay. It is just, I'm telling you, mouth on everything. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be a dirt clump, could be my shirt, could be my ankle. Doesn't matter. But yes, trust me, we got plenty of mallard ducks here in the house. And unfortunately, he'll never be able to retrieve, which, he'd be a heck of a retriever. So yeah, I dropped the ball there. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. It was an opportunity. And you are ever the outdoorsman. So
okay,
had to give you grief.
The last thing I want to end with here is for those of you with small children, Jackson Howard is having a free local camp and I want to give this some light, is on July 15th at Cooper High School from 5 to 8 p.m., he's having a free like skills camp. And oh, by the way, who's going to be there? Anthony Smith, Jackson Howard, Darius Taylor, Greg Johnson, Drake Lindsay, and a bunch of other guys. So if you are a parent here in the local metro area and you're looking at your Google Calendar, or if you're Chip Scoggins, you're looking at your grocery list that you wrote down because Chip is incapable of doing anything that isn't analog, and you're thinking to yourself, well, we got a free night, and I want to bring the kids over, get to meet some of their heroes. You've got enough time in advance here. I want to give it some light. All you have to do is check out his Twitter. So search Jackson Howard to just register for it. And you get to go hang out for a few hours with some of the Gopher greats. I mean, I think it's a great chance to have your kids get out of the house, meet their heroes. I mean, Luke, are you going to sign up the kids to head on over to Cooper?
What ages is it for? Do you know? Mine are probably too young.
I think they're right in the sweet spot, to be honest with you. Again, if we're being honest here, like, it's more so just trying to, I mean, I can look it up here quick, but like, it is grades 1 through 8.
Oh, I got one that could do it. I might have to do that.
We'll so all campers get a meal after the camp. They're going to raffle off some signed jerseys. But again, it's the first 200 campers to RSVP as well get a free camp shirt. Like, you get to go over, be with Emmanuel Carmo and Jackson Howard, who are trying to give back to their high school, but also be with these all Big Ten players as well. I'm just saying, if you got a free evening on July 15th, grades 1 through 8, wanted to give that some light as well. So to wrap things up here, Luke, how tired are you that you're going to have to look at my face and not be able to pace while I ramble on something special teams related in about mid-October? Because guess what, baby? We're now in the video game.
My anxiety is really high at the moment. I don't know if you can see it, but it's there. Well,
I'm sweating because it's like 3 trillion degrees and I'm 6'4" and a proud member of the Big Bad community. And I'm in the upstairs and the AC isn't working the way it should be up here, apparently, which I'm learning here. But I have two things to close here. One, I've said it before, we let off with it. 75% off at gophergazette.com. It's, if you already had a Gopher Illustrated membership, it's the same thing. But for those of you who really want to support Ryan James, Dan Owen, who again is going to be a jack of all trades for us, doing basketball, doing football, doing video stuff behind the scenes, you're going to be able to see and hear more consistent basketball content there. We would love for you to become members. And also, guess what, Luke? We're going to have another episode out this week as I'm going to get your favorite ginger on the podcast as Daniel House makes his return, because sources tell me Summer Splash was certainly wavy and they have now 28, 29, 30 commits. Daniel House and I know them better than most, and we're going to get back into that here later this week, get through Minnesota's 27 recruiting class and tell you what to know. So that'll be coming out to you on your podcasting app, or if you just wanted to go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe over there as well. So Luke, any final parting words here as we get ever so closer to the season?
Yeah, I'm excited to get back into to chatting and previewing the season. It's always fun to look forward to real meaningful games, but maybe more importantly, Ryan, real meaningful news that's going to come out on Gopher Gazette. So that will be fun as well. So again, thank you all for listening, and go Gophers.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No